everyone. Namaste. Welcome back to Anthropause. I'm Simone.
I'm Sitashma, and thank you for joining us for our 9th episode, Passing the Mic.
We have spoken to people across generations about climate change and gotten insight to a large amount of knowledge and perspectives. However, as we near the end of season one, we thought that it would be important to pass the mic to the younger generation, as they are the ones who are extremely vulnerable to climate change.
In the past 2 years, we have seen what children are capable of through the children and youth-initiated climate activism across the world. It is our duty to give them a safe space to raise their voices so their perspectives can be used in decision-making.
We have divided this episode into 3 segments, where kids aged between 9 to 12 join us and talk about their take on different environmental issues.
Let's welcome our very special guests. Hello, everyone. So first and foremost, we would like to thank everyone for being here. And we would like to start this episode by asking everyone to introduce themselves.
My name is Advik Banskota, and I study in Rato Bangla School, and I'm 9 years old.
My name is Ruben Dongol. I am 10 years old. I study in Rato Bangla School.
I am 9 years old. My name is Anish Vasavar and I study in Rato Bangla School.
I am Manasa Subedi and I study in Rato Bangla School. I am 10 years old.
Hello, my name is Ikshobhi Acharya. I am 11 years old and I study in Kasta Manda Vidyalay.
Thank you. So now we'll start with our first question. What is climate change? Yes, Anushma?
Climate change is a major change in the weather, whether it is hot or cold.
Akshobhya?
Okay. Climate change is one of the greatest problems to humanity. It is most, for right now, climate change is because of human activities causing the increase of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. It can cause heating in our planet, for example, hotter summers and melting of our glaciers.
Advik?
So climate change is a change in the climate when a human, because mainly it's because of humans. Humans are making factories, burning fossils, and many other things cause more carbon dioxide. And the carbon dioxide increases the greenhouse gases, which absorb heat onto the planet.
That was a very good answer. Thank you.
So where did you hear the term climate change from?
So I think the first time I heard about climate change was probably in my school during Environment Week or Environment Day. So we always do something special in the week. Like we put make posters or presentations on climate change.
What is Environment Week? And we'd love to know what your school does.
Environment Week is a week, most of the months it's on around June 5th. That's when Environment Day is. It's from Sunday to Saturday. We on the first few days, the teachers give us assignments on groups to make a presentation. We can either make posters or presentations or anything, a song, poem. Last time my group was assigned with a song. So each year on Environment Week, there's a different topic and we do it based off of that topic.
I think Simone and I definitely remember and miss Environment Day, celebrating Environment Day in school. So yes, Ruben, where did you hear the term climate change from?
I think the first time I heard it was in my preschool. I think LKG, in the Environment Day, I had made a poster and when making the research, everything was about the climate change over there. And what my poster actually my teacher liked it, and it is still stuck on the wall of the school.
That sounds amazing, Ruben. Moving on to Manasa. Where did you hear the word climate change from?
Well, I think I heard it from my dad. So he has watched many documentaries, and then he's probably read many articles. So he had told me some things about climate change. So that's where I really heard the word.
This is for Manasa. So do you talk about climate change a lot in your family then?
Sometimes I think I do with my father. Like, we talk about capitalism, we talk about that. He tells me a lot of things about greenhouse gases and everything. And also, I've also stopped eating meat now, like, because he told me that it's also not good for the environment. So we kind of talk about it most of the time.
That's really incredible. Thank you so much. We'd love to dive further into this in the following questions, but now we'd like to hear from Akshobhya. Where did you hear the term climate change from?
For me, I cannot immediately say it of some specific place on the internet or where I heard it, but I think the first time I ever heard even the word climate change was like in a YouTube video on like, something kind of different than climate change, mostly about like greenhouse gases. I think that's where I got the term climate change, and after like a few months or even years after hearing the word again and again, as I am pretty curious, I just googled the term and found out what is climate change. And because of this podcast, I now know a little bit more about climate change from my research.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all your answers. Now, moving on to the next question. How do we know that the climate is changing? Can you give any examples that you've seen or experienced?
Like sometimes in like the weather is like so different in like, like, it's like in summer, when it's meant to be hot, it's too much hot. And like, when in the cold, it's too much cold. Like, it rains like a lot.
When it is summer, it is too hot. And last year, I think in winter, it was not that cold like normal winters. It was kind of like autumn and spring. It wasn't really winter.
So very irregular weather patterns, basically. And Manasa?
So like Ruben and Sanushma said, in the summer, it's really hot. And then in the winter, like, so last year, it was, that year was called one of the warmest years, because the temperature like it increased. And then now this year also the temperature has again increased, like something like that. It has again increased. So that means it also is, that's how climate change is also here. Like,
so one of the biggest causes is transportation, and since the cars they take out carbon dioxide, which makes the atmosphere with the greenhouse gases even larger. And another thing is trees. Trees absorb carbon dioxide, so it gets rid of it a little. But humans are cutting trees for farms, cities, roads. And so there's been more and more greenhouse gases.
Talking about cars and pollution, what do you have to say about the air quality in Nepal right now?
It's still quite like dirty, but like I remember a time, I don't remember which month, but it was this year when it was like a few days where the sky was all like gray and like dark orange because of the pollution. And then during lockdown, the the first few months of lockdown, if you didn't notice, it was really clear because no cars were coming out.
Thank you, Advik. I think Sanushma has to add to this.
Because of all there once was a really big fire and all the sky changed for the color gray. The sky was grayish black for about 3 or 2 days. And just like Advik said, during lockdown, because many cars weren't getting used, the weather was very clear and all the animals were coming out, like birds. Most of the birds that I've never seen before were flying.
For me, my dad watches a lot of news videos, kind of like the other my friends said, like their parents watches. For him, I have seen repeatedly there's way more forest fires in around the world, stronger tornadoes, and many more disasters happening, more frequent and more disastrous. For me personally, I found the rain is getting longer and longer, pouring down. Even so much that sometimes my school has to put the immense water on the floor.
Are you aware of the recent natural disaster in Mustang? The massive avalanche that happened just a few days ago, and it also injured multiple people. And also, are you aware of any other natural disasters in Nepal? And we'd love to hear what you have to say about it.
Actually, so about that, my family, well, all of my family, my cousins and everybody, we were planning on, some of them were planning on going to a place, I think it's in Mustang, it was called Jomsom. And there was a recent avalanche, I think the day they were planning it. So my family didn't want to go, so they changed the location to Chitwan.
I think Manasa next.
So I think near Langtang, in one of the forests, there was this forest fire. So we were on a hike at the time to Langtang, and then there, the sky was all gray and black, we couldn't really see the daylight because of the forest fire. All the villagers had told us, and then all the hotel owners as well, that the hotels that we've been stayed in. And so, but still we continued our hike. So still the sky was really black and then gray, so with the forest fire.
Akshobhya next.
The topic is now about natural disasters. And for me, before lockdown, I have in my fourth grade, this disaster happened before I woke up or before after I came back to my home. They said in the Viber and in the Muslim media that their school had just experienced a landslide on the fourth grade area. My whole grade and maybe some other grades also, some of the five class and some of the three grade also have kind of experienced the landslide, and my whole class and other sections had to move to a different location for the time being. Right now during lockdown, when I went to school just Thursday, as they allowed to let us go to the school now, I found there's a new hall or something in the location of my fourth grade. Now it is the fourth grade has also been moved.
Ruben?
So in Melamchi, the place where the water is brought to Kathmandu, a recent flood happened a month or two ago. And I've heard the mountain, it got blocked off by something, and like all the mud went into the lake, and it all like went up like to the house level, like to like very high, and that like now the water is brought from other places here, like the it's so muddy now.
Yes, the videos that we watched, it was absolutely very scary. And I believe this happened around July, August, right, Simone?
I think so, yes.
Thank you for sharing this information with us, because that region is very prone to flooding, and this is not the first time that it's happened.
Climate change has caused all these natural disasters, and we've just talked about this, and they all impact us, right? But who is getting the most affected by climate change? Who do you think is the most, like, what kind of population, what region?
I think kids will be affected by the climate change. Okay, like right now, kids, like all of us young kids, because let's say when we grow up, so right now the younger kids, like even younger than us, so they don't know how to recognize animals and all that. And then once they grow up, once we also grow up, then when they are able to recognize these things, everything, the environment around them, then they might not get to see the animals at all, or they might not get to see trees at all. Like they'll just probably not even get to see the clear sky. They'll just see gray fog and all that. They won't even get to see so many animals, maybe.
But let's hear what Oxytopia has to say first.
I think for me, the region of like that will be most affected is like, for example, Antarctica and Greenland, and maybe some Iceland too. In those locations, the ice is starting to melt way more quickly than usual because of the increase of temperatures, because of human activities, as I said.
Like, I think like the, mostly like the global warming and things like this. They usually happen in high populations like Kathmandu. But the landslides and those things like don't happen so much in like higher populations. They usually happen like on the mountainy areas. So mainly the villages will get like floods and landslides.
That is true. And at this moment, like I would like to, you know, point out that Nepal releases only like 0.43 metric tons of carbon dioxide per capita, I believe. And yet, isn't it so sad that Nepal will be one of the countries that will be is most vulnerable to climate change. Did you know about this?
I think yeah. So.
Yeah, me too. I have like heard about like some animals starting to disappear or run away from Nepal.
I think yes, I think my father's brother had also told me, like my uncle had told us that Nepal is one of the friendliest countries to the world. Friendliest.
So this is something that you said earlier, Manasa, that you believe that climate change is affecting the children most, which is why we have you all here today, right? We also believe this. That's why we are speaking with all of you. So we would love to hear from everyone. How is climate change affecting you personally?
So climate change right now, Nepal is extremely dirty and dusty, and it is affecting a lot of children to be sick.
I just think like a very awkward feeling, because like many people in Nepal, like they do poetry a lot, and they write big things in there about like the environment. And the funny thing is that they themselves don't even follow that. That's why I feel like a little awkward when I read a poem like that or a story like that.
Just to follow up on that, Ruben, but do you think writing poetry and stories about climate change is a good way to tell people what's happening in Nepal or anywhere in the world? Is it a good way of talking about climate change? Do you think so?
I think, yeah, especially for like younger people, like You know, it's like fun and like you're learning something at the same time.
So how climate change is affecting me is that because so I also feel scared, and then so I've read this book about a ship of time of where a boy goes into the future, like 2081. That's where the future is really. So the future is like there's deserts only, and the world is just ruled by one person. Kids are not having freedom, and then there's many climate disasters, I think. So if we don't do something right now, the kids might also be treated like that way. Like the future might also be like that, and then that's kind of scared me now.
I don't know how old I was, but then once through the visit of the doctor said I'm asthmatic because of too much dust and pollution.
Thank you for sharing that. Those were very insightful answers. So I think Advik touched on this a while ago and talked about transportation and pollution. But do you guys think humans are responsible for climate change, and what kind of actions are causing climate change?
So also not all humans, like kids are not really responsible, mostly grown-ups. But so the fuel factories, right, let's say, the people who own those fuel factories are probably responsible for it, because fuel is something that harms the environment. And then these rich people who are really greedy, they make these fuel factories, and then that causes more pollution. So mostly they're responsible for it.
For me, obviously, the more people in in the world can, and it means if there are more people in the world, that means they will be using more and more carbon dioxide. And as the population of humans are expected to be like around level out in 11 billion people, that means there's going to be way more carbon dioxide, like eco-friendly technologies. They're giving money to like fossil fuel people who burn fossil fuels, which is starting to like right now is causing some people to like telling the government to change their laws and stuff. Yeah.
Also, another thing that's responsible, so it's all of course humans. So there's this gas freon that can cause holes in the ozone, and then actually that freon gas actually comes out from our own refrigerators at home. So also refrigerators are also kind of responsible for this, like humans created it, so yet humans themselves are still responsible.
That is very true. All right, we're going to move on to another question. So earlier, Manasa did say that her father and her have spoken about climate change quite frequently. So we would just like to know from everyone else, how often do you talk about climate change, whether it is at your home or with your friends? And how do you feel when you talk or see videos about climate change, basically?
When I like see the videos on YouTube about climate change, I feel like the government should make more rules for Nepal for not to pollute the environment or hurt the environment that much. Like, for example, Singapore is one of the cleanest countries.
Subhashma and I actually talk a lot about climate change almost every day, and sometimes we're both affected by it a lot. We're very sad, but most of the times we're like hopeful. That's why we started this podcast, so we could talk to you all, talk to a lot of different people and see how they're doing their part, you know, in solving this problem. So sometimes I feel sad, but sometimes I feel very hopeful that there is a solution to this and we can all come in and work together.
So I talk about it with my father almost every day. And then, but as you talk about it, I mostly feel scared and I also feel hopeless. like my father tries to reassure me that something will be fine, you can be hopeful, like something like that. Yet I'm still hopeless, and I still keep on thinking that if people will act and do something about it or not, like
for me, I have like seen a lot of videos now. Like right now, when I'm looking at my like YouTube, there's like right now almost 5 videos on my recommended page on like climate change or something related. From there's like a great analogy that I've heard from some YouTubers of talking about. For example, let's say you have a leak in your house. You have like 2 options: leave it until it gets really bad and call help, or you can do it right now and save a lot of money. Right now we are having like that option, but instead of a leak in our house, we're having a heating up in our house. Also, we can also save on our earth. So we have like 2 options on like if we want to do it now or do it later. If we just do it now, we could save a lot of money. More people's life will be saved. And like that, if we just keep it like that until it's getting very bad, kids will, there might, it might be more expensive because the more carbon dioxide, there are a lot of eco-friendly technologies that suck up the carbon dioxide from our atmosphere. If we just don't do it now, there's going to be way more carbon dioxide than we could ever suck out.
Following up with that question, you did mention that you watch a lot of YouTube videos, and I think Manasa said that she talks to her father a lot about climate change, and Ruben talked about poetry. Where is your main source of information about climate change coming from? Is it from books, from your teachers, from class? Where do you get the most information from? Yes.
From YouTube, like whenever I watch, I see these so many videos about climate change, and it makes me so tempted to watch all of them.
I think it was like usually in the class, like last year, and no, maybe this year also in Environment Week, like every day, at least one class in the day used to be like about the climate change or something like. And there used to be a presentation, and they would just show a video of like so it that had like tons of information. So I think it's probably from class because I'm actually like I only really read like fiction books, or I get one from the library usually.
So when I get from the Environment Week, and then another sometimes I watch YouTube, and I also get it. But mostly I also read books, I hear it in class, and I'm into reading science fiction books, and in those books there's a lot of information about climate change, so those are some of the sources I can get the information from.
I'm also into a lot of science fiction books, Manasa. Moving on to Akshopya.
For me, if you're saying like which place that I mostly watch climate change videos, then I would say from YouTube, a lot of for example, Quarkizard, Minute Earth, and many other videos. But if you're saying how much information do I get from a single video, then I could go to like, I can tell you that mainly from Netflix documentaries about of our planet, oceans, like that. I really recommend those types of documentaries from Alan Becker or somebody like that. In each single documentary is one is about our plants, another is about our oceans, icebergs, like that.
We would love to hear from Ruben about the Nepali book that he's talking about in the chat.
And the book was a Nepali book. It was called Manu Ko Mane. Manu was a girl, and she had a dog called dog. She had a goat called Mane, which she loved to play with. Mane used like to follow her to school, but like Mane always like scolded him to go back, like, or else I won't be able to go to school. And one day, when she came back to play, Mane was nowhere to be found. And when she went to the village, the center of the village, her mom was with many people and Mane was in her hands. And Manu went over there and she saw what happened. Then she saw a plastic bag in Manu's mouth. It was something black and she pulled it out. And she was very angry at the plastic bags and she just buried it. But the next day in her school, she just picked up all the trash on the floor and and her friend said, "What are you going to do with that?" And she was like, "What to do else? Like, we'll just burn it." And he said that we should not burn. So she just was not concentrating in class and just thinking about that. Then she went to the science teacher and said, "We just put them in the dustbin and we separate them and we should not burn them." And that's how the story went.
That in that story I just said, the beginning part of that story sounded like Mary had a little lamp in that story.
I think I actually remember reading that story. I don't think it's a new Nepali book, but I have
kind of old in the library. It was since 2009, that book in the library.
Yes. So yes, I read that book. It's a really good book. Thank you for reminding me about it. So we're going to move on to the next question, okay? What do you think is the best way to communicate about climate change to children? Yes, Ruben?
We can make a very exciting story, like the Manuka Mane one, make a story, a storybook. So not just a straight up non-fiction book. Children they may be bored of those books. So we make a storybook and the conclusion will be related to the environment.
Kind of what Ruben had said. We should do it obviously in simple words if we're targeting mostly kids, because obviously very younger kids, for example, younger than 5, are not so used to hearing big words like climate change. So instead of directly talking about climate change, we should go around the topic. Maybe some storybooks or even some little bit of educational videos.
Well, Ruben said, a storybook. We could make a storybook, or we could also make a poem, and we could also with words that children can understand, not to the big words like Axelia said.
Maybe we could make a book or a simple poem with words, very simple words that all kids can understand.
Thank you for all for your answers. So do you guys think a podcast like this is a good way to communicate to kids?
I this podcast. Well, as we are all mostly very young kids, I think kids are more like videos if it's about kids around their age, and as we are kids, most adults are also maybe some adults also only when kids talk about a topic, because it's more motivating for adults and kids alike.
This podcast is good for so that kids can understand for kids, but then so long as we don't use these big words that little kids can't understand, I think it would be good for them.
Do you guys know of any climate activists or the school strike for climate that has been happening around the world? Is anyone aware of that?
I know a climate activist, so she's about a teenager, I think. I don't know how old she is. So her name is Greta Thunberg, and I think she's from Europe. So she's been starting this protest recently. And she's also been going to these big meetings.
Berg's name, and she's done some really amazing things, right? But we think that it's very important for you all to know a climate activist in Nepal itself. There are like actually quite a few, but we are very familiar with Tanuja Pandey's work. She also co-founded an organization called Hari Nepal. So we recommend all of you to look her up and just to look at Hari Nepal as well.
I don't remember the name, but on Environment Week, like we had a small program and like somebody had come over there. I so forgot the name. Oh my god. Wait, I think it's in my copy. Wait, I'll check real quick.
Okay, we'll wait for you. We'd really love to hear who this climate activist is.
Okay, moving on to the next question. What can be done at an individual or a community or a country level to solve climate change?
I have four things I could say about like how to slow climate change and how to prevent climate change. One is about telling people to use less electricity. For example, closing the lights, close running water, and also people are trying to also increase the effectiveness for solar panels and hydro plants and other eco-friendly technologies. There's some like confusion of if radioactive plants and those type of things. There's some controversy on like if they're good. They're like not very dangerous to the atmosphere, but those type of radioactive plants, they are limited in their fuel, but they don't do any harm. So there's some controversy about that, and we should tell the government to fund more to eco-friendly technologies.
We as children could stop like throwing trash around. Like suppose we're drinking juice from a juice box and we just throw it on the ground. We should not litter much, and also we should use less plastic.
So we could do some things individually, but still that won't help. So the things that we can probably do individually is mostly use bicycles instead of using cars. Like you could go to near places, and if you have to go to far places, use public transport. Also, many people say that we should not be using plastic bag and use a tote bag. But actually, what I found out recently was that to make a tote bag, it makes more pollution than making about several thousand plastic bags. So that won't probably help as well. Yeah. And we also shouldn't litter much, like Sanushma said. But we can do many things in community than just doing it individually.
The name turned out to be like Sanjeevani Yonzan. I looked in three copies and I finally found it. And like she is an environmentalist and she's the director of WCN.
Thank you.
And like she works to save nation with many various schools. It was a whole journal on it, so like on the session on June 8th. So like, yeah, I just said the first part.
Thank you so much. We're sorry you had to go through three different copies, but it's good to know the climate activist.
I looked in the social studies copy, I looked in the science copy, I finally found it in the literature copy.
Thank you, Ruben. Before moving on to the next question, I do want to go back to Manasa, and she said there were some things that we can do as a community.
Things I think we could, instead of like doing things individually, like I said, like instead of just doing these little things, like using bike instead of car, and then using cloth bags instead of plastic bags, I think we should go do bigger actions. Like we should be protesting as like many people should be joining, and we should do protests that way. If we did it individually, like one person can't really go against a city of doing pollution, right? So I think we should better do it in a community. Like we should protest, and then we should also give speeches, we should do big meetings. Yeah, and also, mostly I think kids should be doing this. Like, kids should be actually, I think, taking control of these protests, and because grown-ups, as they're responsible for these, kids are the ones who are going to get affected in the future. So, I think kids should be also protesting more than grown-ups. Yeah, groups of children, teenagers, young people, like even us.
Can we do one last question then? So if you had a chance to say anything to your country leader about climate change, what would you say?
I have a very harsh answer. Okay, wait. I would say, why are you craving so much for money? You care about the environment. Like, they do anything for money, that's why. Yeah, like they are like...
It's not that harsh, Ruben. It's just that it's kind of weird to tell for somebody who has a lot of power.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Ruben.
If I had able to say one thing to the for the country or president or somebody, I would say just like tell people to, instead of using like petroleum or diesel cars, I would tell whoever's in that great power, I'm telling to start telling people to get electric cars. If it is some like factories that are using fossil fuels or harming the environment in some way, then I should tell to make those like those type of industries or factories to go like to stop using or go bankrupt or something like that.
I think what I tell the government was that because people now, since there are many climate disasters, you have to act to do something about it because you're the government. And if you don't, the people will not be happy with you, citizens. And if you want your country to be a great country, you need to act fast and tell your people to do something about it.
Thank you for listening to our episode. You can listen to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and other platforms. You can also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Links to these platforms will be in the description box below.
We will also attach reference links in the description box. See you next month.